Meet at 7:30 on Friday evening. Next Sunday morning, Eric Peterson will be speaking at the ministry meeting. Jonathan Singh will minister downstairs, and it'll be downstairs again for the Family Bible Hour next week. There will be a Christian training class next week, and there will also be a choir practice next week. So that'll mean that we'll be having more people staying for lunch next week than we usually have. The adult choir will be singing also next week at Blenheim Lodge. So you can keep that one in mind. We're going to have a special prayer meeting for all of our activities. It'll be Saturday morning, this coming Saturday morning, 9:30 here in the chapel. Come along, and we've got to pray that the blessing of God will be upon us over this Christmas season and on the other occasions as well. Pray regarding our Christmas programs. Pray regarding the Kamstra family who will be coming to us probably between Christmas and New Year's, but very early in the new year, if not before that. A note here from the ladies. Thank you all who contributed to the ladies' Christmas lunch yesterday, especially to the men who served and worked in the kitchen. Thank you all very, very much. Here is a special announcement regarding the Sunday school program. And if I can find the right page, I will read it to you. And Marilyn, I don't have the right page that you gave me. So it's somewhere here. I'm going to read the end of last week's, and it reads like follows. It says, please note that on Sunday, December the 11th, that's coming Sunday, we're going to have two practices for the Sunday school. We'll meet at 11:30 and then have lunch and then practice until 2:30. All the parents are listening, because the children are going to be here until 2:30 next week. Parents, we would really appreciate your help. Please encourage your child to learn their words and the actions. Parents, you go over it with them. Same way as you learn Psalm 23. You learn it, they learn it. You teach it. By the time you've taught it to your children, especially if they're not terribly bright, you'll have figured it out yourself. So, you try that for next week. You learn all those verses. You learn their parts. If you're like my family, when I was a little boy, they had to come and sit in the front row to make sure I got through my part. They knew it. I didn't, but they did. All right. We're looking forward to an excellent program this year. Thank you in advance for your help. But parents, we do need your help. Thank you. Give you more details on the precise announcement at the next meeting. Ron, we stole a lot of your time. Gary?
Sunday school teacher's lunch.
Sunday school teacher's lunch today. All the workers for Sunday school lunch today. Ron?
We do have a special on shovels. I'm renting shovels and selling shovels because I don't know if it's snowing out yet, but it might snow one of these days, so we do have a special on shovels. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be a part of the family, and we have a very interesting message, I hope, from the Lord, not from Ron Edgecombe, but from the Lord through the Word of God. So would you turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, to chapter 4, verse 1.
You're telling me there's a problem. You're going to knock this thing down eventually.
Well, I can speak down there.
No, you pick it up and just okay. Move it over 1 foot your way. That's good. That's probably good enough.
Well, I'm just glad it's not metal, because sometimes I get excited and I might really have problems. Anyway, let's turn together, please, to Philippians chapter 3. When I was here last time, I had a problem with my throat. I still have it. Pray for that, please. After two Sunday meetings, usually I'm hoarse, and I shouldn't be. But anyway, we're going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read it. Please don't look up here if you have your Bible. I always encourage people to read it from their Bible so you get used to using it. I only put it up here for visitors. So if you're a visitor, you can follow. And if you're not a visitor and you've got your own Bible or you've got your own iPad or your phone, whatever you use to read the Bible, please follow along. And I'm sure the Lord will, well, we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving towards what is ahead. Verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if one, and on some point you'd think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Verse 17, please. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God, small g, is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we earnestly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lonely bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. What a beautiful passage. What a passage to encourage you. What a challenge. And I would like to look at this passage with you. And I would ask you to examine yourself. How are you? What are your goals? We're going to look at Paul's goals here. And think of yourself in regards to this passage. What are your goals? And then after that, we're going to look at the attitude. What is your attitude? We're going to look at Paul's attitude. He talks about this in this passage. And the third point and the last point will be the Christian role. What really is the Christian's role? What is your role in the Lord's work and in what God has called us to do? We find here very clearly that we're going to touch each of these and then we're going to go into depth. Paul's goal we find in chapter 3, which we've already read, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do know, forgetting what is behind and striving, stretching, moving towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenlyward in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's goal. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go along. So what is your goal in life? Make money? Get a better job? Get a bigger house, a new car? What is your goal? Then the next point we're going to look at here is a mature attitude. What is your attitude? All of this, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And dear brothers and sisters, because I'm talking to you this morning. Later on downstairs, I'm going to be more open in my speaking. But this is to we who know and love the Lord, we who have taken the Lord's Supper, we who are part of the family of God. What is your attitude? What is my attitude? Well, we can see what Paul's attitude is, and he's very fanatic about it, and which I think we should be also when we're in the will of the Lord. What is your role? Join together. Notice, join together, people of 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, join together in following my example, not mine. I can't say that. Paul said that, but we're going to study that because it's so interesting. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So these are the three points we're going to try to touch in the next few minutes. Christian life, what a wonderful, wonderful thing we have to live according to God's mind and God's will. Paul's perspective, Paul's goal was to be more like Christ. We're going to see that. Sanctification. It's a moving on. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I was justified. I became a part of the family of God. I became your brother and sister if you've made that decision. But sanctification, we're going to be talking a lot about that today. That's Paul's goal. Notice when I say goal, you haven't arrived there yet. You're working towards it. And we're going to see how Paul brings that so beautifully in this portion. Now, why did Paul write this? I believe he wrote this because in the church at Philippi, there were some Christians that thought they had arrived spiritually. And today, with my friends, my people of my age, the baby boomers, I'm meeting more and more of them think they've arrived spiritually. They've been Christian for 50 years. I don't have to go to church. I stay at home with a nice cup of coffee, and I watch some really good evangelical, Bible-believing, fundamental preacher on the television. I don't need the church. I don't need other Christians. That is the devil's voice talking to them. Because they think they've arrived. We have not arrived. We're going towards. We're moving forward. And we're going to see that very, very, very distinctly. And these Christians in Philippi, even though they've only been Christians for a year or two or whatever, they thought they had arrived. So Paul says, no. You have to move on to the high calling. Because, you know, the Bible tells us very, very distinctly that we are to grow. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. You know, when I travel up, I got some pictures. I didn't have time to put them in this presentation. But, you know, you go up to the interior, and you see these small little lakes, small little ponds with all white around it, and there's no fish in it, and it stinks, and it's not very nice because it's stagnant. The Christian life is not stagnant. It's a growing process. It's a moving on process. And that's what we have to tell ourselves, and we have to learn, and we have to tell with love and care to some of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ that think that they have arrived. We haven't arrived. We're working towards that. We are called to be on duty. We have responsibilities as Christians. It's not a one-man thing that you leave it up to this person and this person, this person. We have to get involved together in the work of the Lord. And praise God for those who play the piano to lead music, for those who break the bread. This is what a community is. And as Christians, we're on duty 24/7 because Satan doesn't take a holiday. And either are we to take a holiday, and we are not to sit back in a lawn chair with our feet up saying, have I arrived spiritually? I've been a Christian for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and I don't have to read my Bible anymore. I don't have to go to church anymore. That's wrong. And that's what Paul is trying to get across here, I believe, in this particular passage. And it's so interesting when we read it. Let's move on there because, it says in the Word of God that we are to press towards the goal. Do you get the feeling? Do you get the emotions here? I love the scripture because, I read it in four languages, and I compare them, and I like to just read the scripture because the best commentary on the scripture is the scripture itself, and you get the different words. Here the word is press on towards the goal, press on, moving forward. And that's what it's all about. We are to work towards, not to earn our salvation. We've got it. We're set for life. I'm saved, born again, regenerate. Why? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I've accepted him as my Savior. But I can't stop there. I've got to move on. I've got to press on. And that's what it's all about. And that's what this is telling us in this passage. Yes, we've got to be concerned Christians. We've got to be... caring Christians. We got to be compassionate Christians. People out there around us should see that we're caring, concerned, and compassionate. We should be full of love. The Bible makes it clear that self-righteousness is the primary enemy of the gospel. I've made it. I'm in the club. I'm going to go to heaven. No. We have to work not for our salvation, but we are saved not by works, but we are saved for works. Yes, we've got to think of the past, future, and present. But look what Paul says about that in the scripture, and it's so, so interesting. And Paul tells us, Paul repeats his statement that he had not yet attained the spiritual faultlessness that comes only with the final resurrection. Moreover, he calls the readers and brothers and sisters, he says. He says, we have to move forward. We've got to forget those things in the past, and we've got to move towards the goal. And we're going to look at some of the metaphors that he says. Now, if he was to say he arrived, he could just about say that, because if you look in the chapter before this, it's so interesting. He says, it says here, we rely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human efforts, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. See, Paul could, he could brag. He could say, look, I was a Jew of the Jews. He even says here in the Bible that he kept the law. How many of us could say now we kept the law? And he even went out to kill Christians. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But he took all that aside. He said, you got to press on. Sure, you might go to Blenheim Lodge to sing in the choir. God bless you. Please go. What a wonderful ministry. You might go down to Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. Great. Do it. But do something for Jesus, and we can't brag about it because he has done so much for us. And Paul is saying in this passage that we have to forget and we have to move on. Move on. You know, the wonderful thing about it, if we confess our sins, he is faithfully just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are to confess those sins, and we are to move on. The future is bright and beautiful. Love it. Strive for it and work for it. Paul uses the analogy, running the race. We're all in a race, dear brothers and sisters. But I don't want to be better than this person down here or this person down here. I want to be the best for Jesus. When I was in school, I wanted to be the best Christian. And I walked down. I'm not saying that's always the right thing to do. But the biggest, the blackest King James Bible on top of my books at Vancouver Tech, I'd walk down the hallway because I wanted to be the best Christian. When I worked at Kelly Douglas, and I'm not bragging, I'm praising God that I never arrived. I never arrived at being the best Christian. Kelly Douglas, I used to read my Bible during coffee break and at lunchtime. And people would look at me and they'd call me a fanatic. They'd call me a pastor, a reverend, priest. And they'd call me other things, but I won't say here because you wouldn't invite me back. But we're in a race, dear brothers and sisters. And we've got to run together. But you know the nice thing about the Christian race? You know the thing I like? Because in a race, only one wins, right? Cross country, one wins. 100-yard dash, one wins. But in the Christian race, we can all win. We can all win. And that's a wonderful thing about the race that we're in. And that is so important. Yes, so, so important. So that's Paul's goal. Are you with me? Okay, time is going. The clock is ticking. A mature attitude. Paul's attitude was a mature attitude. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we see here in the scriptures that There we go. Whoop. Okay. Now, I don't know how to get back on that. Do you want to click that, brother, sister? But what was his attitude? Paul's attitude was that of he says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if people different, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Just hit play. So that is the attitude of Paul. You know, he knew he couldn't be perfect, but he was striving towards that. And that is so important. You know, it says here, I may not be perfect, but I don't need to be perfect to be. I am on my way that God will make me. See, God is making us. He's for, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be perfect as he is perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Here, we've got a long ways to go, but it's very important. We have not arrived. Remember that. We have not. Never look down on someone unless you are helping them get up. How often we say, you're not running fast enough. You're not working fast enough. But see, we're all on a stage. We're on a stage of progress. We're all growing. Some grow faster than others. Some are lagging behind. And it's not for me to judge that person to say, hey, give me your hand, brother. Let me help you. Vamos junto. That's what we say in Argentina. Let's get together. Let's work together. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Dear brothers and sisters, your brother and sister might not be moving up like you're moving up because we all grow differently. And we mustn't judge. We must help. We must encourage. We must stimulate them. I like this slide here because it shows what happens a lot of time. The old sinful nature. And people are under the control of Satan. But you know, we used to sing a song, put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee. And if you put your hand in the hand of Jesus and God, you're going to move on. And God is going to use you for his honor and for his glory. And that's the prayer of Paul for the Philippians here in this particular passage. You know, in unity, there is strength. And that's why we have a community. When I look at your bulletin, praise God. Go for it. Help, encourage, attend. Because if you do these things, you're going to grow faster. You know, I like barbecues. In Argentina, we probably have a barbecue once a day or sometimes twice a day. Believe it or not, we have meat. I hope there's no, if there's vegetarians here, I apologize. But we eat meat. Woo! Lots of meat. You know, and we don't use briquettes. We use real coal, wood. We get the fire going and burning, burning, burning. And then all of a sudden you'll see all the coals nice and red. Well, you take one of those coals out of the fire and put the coal over here. That coal was nice and red and hot. That coal, black, smoky. Why? Because it's not in the fire. That's why we have 16th. That's why we have a Cascade Gospel Chapel. That's why we have 10th Avenue Gospel Chapel. So we're in the fire together. We're working together. We're stimulating each other. We're on fire for the Lord, and great things get done. That's what Paul is saying here, that we have to work together. We have to walk. That's what he's saying here. We have to. And if on some points you think different, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So we've attained this. Move on. That's what Paul is saying here. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Yeah, I think it is. Christian model. Okay, we've got the mature, being mature, moving on, helping one another. You got that. You got the goal to be like Christ, to win the prize, to get to the end, to win the battle. Now, the last point is the Christian's role. Therefore, I urge you, it said, therefore, I urge you to move on. That's what Paul says. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere I go. You know what it says in 1 Timothy 4 and 12? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in faith and purity. But you know, Paul didn't say, hey, I'm great. Hey, you guys, follow me. No, look what it says. Follow me, he told the Corinthians, as I follow the example of Christ. So what he is saying, follow Christ. Be imitators as I am of Christ. We are to follow him. He is the one that is important. Yes, time is going. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, my life, many live as enemies of the cross. And we have that, and we see that over and over and over. Now, we're going to just listen to a quick song. It might be a little loud, so if you want to turn it down, it's okay with me, but I'm deaf in one ear and I don't hear out of the other. But, you know, we mustn't be bad examples. That's what Paul is saying here. But we have to move on.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Can you sing that song? Can you sing that song? Amen. I like that. Because, you know, this world isn't in a home, and we've got to realize that. And that's what Paul is saying in this passage. We're just passing through. I love Pilgrim Progress. I've taught it many, hundreds of times in French, Spanish, and English. And it's just a wonderful story. After the Bible, it's one of my favorite books. Bible's way up here, and Pilgrim Progress is down here. But it's a wonderful story. And it's about a fella on his way to heaven. And we're on our way to heaven, and this world isn't to be our home. We're working towards that. We're going towards that. We're fighting towards that. We're running towards that. Together, we can make it. Who, by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies to that they will be like his glorious body. That's what we can look forward to, brothers and sisters. That's what we should be working towards. It's so important, so important. Do you know, when we think of our race we're in, and we think of the church, and we think of what is before us, it says here, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. You know, I was over at my son's house the other day, and he had this in his bathtub. He was redoing his bathroom. And you know, dear brothers and sisters, we're under construction. We are under instruction. Can you push that again? Each and every one of us are under instruction. Now, I don't know if your name is here, but these are some of your dear saints here, and we're all under construction. There's nobody arrived. There's garbage around us, but we're moving on. We're running forward. All of us are in a lucha, in a battle. And you know, we're terminating it. Timothy, you're there. Yeah, we're all there. I'm there. You're there. But it's working together because we're under construction, and we've got to help the person who's maybe not quite there yet. And God will certainly bless us. The last slide is very interesting. Because you know the word on the internet, working in progress? That's what we are. We're workers in progress. I mean, it's so interesting to think that God is working in the lives of all of those people. And if your name's not there, I apologize, not enough room. But you're under construction. Bill, you're under construction. We're a work in progress. Try to translate this word for me. We ain't arrived yet. That's not very good ESL or English. But you know, we haven't arrived. We're work in progress. And you know, I haven't arrived. I haven't finished yet. Either of you. May God help us, as Paul gives in this beautiful passage, work together, strive together, move on together towards the goal that is laying before us. Father God, bless us, guide us, and direct us. We thank you for the goodies downstairs. We're looking forward, Heavenly Father, for the fellowship. Be with us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.